my friend Piggy Scratch Rats.
Yo. Mic check. 1, 2. Episode. Is this 178?
178.
Episode 178. Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get it cracking. What's going on, Josh?
Not much, man. Like, this was a super light week for me, man. I didn't have my kids is coming on Thursday, and they're going to be here for 5 days.
Okay.
Well, the girls, it's my son live with me, but girls will be here for 5 days. So, like, this was the first, like, weekend I really didn't have, like, a ton of running to go do. And, like, mm-hmm. Oh, you need to run here, you need to run there. Yo, I did, like, nothing. Even though it was gorgeous outside, yeah. I did absolutely nothing. And I fucking enjoyed every minute of it, yeah.
Dog, you know what's crazy? Remember when you were a kid and you were like just dying for activity and you want to go over here, you want to go over there, you want to do this, you want that. And I swear, dog, when you get old, the joy of having no things to do, that shit's like orgasmic almost. Like, it's like,
it feels so good.
You like, I don't got nothing to do, and no one's asking me to do anything. I don't have kids, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you don't got no work to do or anything. I'd imagine it's, like, even better when you have children who aren't calling you for anything or asking you for anything.
Dude, it was so nice, yo. It was so nice to not have, like, all right, well, you got to run here. Especially because, like, you know, for anybody who's listening and don't know, like, my kids live way out in the county. They live, like, an hour away from me. So, like, anything I got to go up there for, it's, like, a two-hour journey. And, like, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but just, like, the drive. First of all, the driving in my back is not kosher. But also, like, I had to take, like, so my daughter went on a junior prom last week. Mm-hmm. And I had to take her to go pick her dress up, like, the week before that. And the place she was getting her dress done was in, like, basically Center City. So I had to drive way out to the county, pick her up. Drive way into the city, pick up the dress. Drive her all the way back out to the county and then drive back home. So it was like a 4-hour excursion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, just knowing that I had, like, this, like, especially Saturday. Sunday I did have some shit to do, but Saturday I had nothing to do. I got up. Fucking watched some TV, ate shit like that, played with the dogs. Was like, oh no, it's like 1 o'clock. I'm gonna take a nap. Yeah. Like, it was the first nap I took in a while. Like, I hadn't taken a nap in a while.
That midday nap, yo, that shit'll add years to your life.
It feels so good, yeah. And it's like, it was one of them joints where, because I had nothing to do, I didn't even have to set an alarm on my nap.
I could just wake up.
Yeah, natural just shit. Wake up naturally. Like, that is the least, like, feeling I've had in so fucking long of, like, oh, I don't got to set no alarm for shit. Like, it is the most missed feeling in the world of not, like, that. I don't know if there's a noise that I hate more than my alarm.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cause it just jolts you out of sleep, and it's like the worst thing in the world, man. They say that's not, like, it's not good for you.
It's not healthy.
Yeah, they say it's like you're supposed to, like, you should naturally come out of sleep, not like fucking be jolted out of sleep. Mm-hmm. I thought it's been a long time since I hadn't, like, had to set an alarm for some shit. Cause most of the time, even if I did take a nap, it was like, all right, I got this to do at this time. Let me set the alarm. Mm-hmm. I just put the phone down. And just, like, curled just up in bed with the bed. And, like, it was the best feeling. I haven't had a feeling like that in a very long time, yo.
Dog, I still set alarms because I have reminders of stuff to do or whatever. Lately, when I wake up, I've been leaving my phone in the small bedroom and then just going to bed. And I don't set, like, if somebody wants to do a call with me, like, yo, let's jump on Zoom. You know, what time's good for you? I don't set anything before, like, 10:30 in the morning. And a lot of times, because Melissa has to be up and like rocking with her job, hers is more structured than me. Yeah. Obviously, I freelance. But I really, a lot of times I'll wake up, her waking up will wake me up, or I'll wake up with her. But a lot of times, dog, I'm not like, an alarm's not ringing me up. And I didn't even think of that until you started talking about that. But a lot of times I'm really, I go to bed. I really only need, I don't know if this is like a negative thing on my health or whatever, but I generally only sleep for like 4 or 5 hours. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I'll go to bed and I'll pop back up. I'm really like just popping back up on my own. You know what I mean? I'm not like setting an alarm because like I said, like I'm not going to clock in anywhere. And if I need to do a meeting in the morning, I'll set it for late morning, or I'd like to do a lot of stuff in the afternoon. So I'm you know, there's no danger of me oversleeping for that, because I'm not like going to sleep until 11 on a fucking Monday. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, a lot of times I'm not even setting an alarm. I'm just not to wake up. You know what I mean? I'm just like getting up, and I'll come in here and get my phone and like look at it or whatever. But yeah, a lot of times it's just, you know, natural wake up shit.
Though that was the worst part of like switching from like my old gig, working overnights and shit like that, like resetting my sleep schedule. I'm on a pretty good sleep schedule now, where like most nights I'm like sleep by like 1 or 2 o'clock, maybe earlier. Like I normally am like, all right, it's time to like take it down at like 10:30, 11.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm done for the evening. I don't got shit else to do. And then like, then it's just, you know, watch something until I fall asleep or whatever. But like, I finally got into a good like space of being like, all right, I'm asleep by like no later than 1 or 2. And then I'm up by like 8:30, 9 at the latest. Like I'm rarely ever not up before 9 anymore, because like when I first switched my schedule, that's what was happening. I was fucking sleeping till, you know, noon and all that shit. And I hate that feeling, because it feels like your whole day is gone.
Yeah, you done missed half the day and shit.
Yeah, and like I hate that feeling. So like I like getting up semi early, and part of that too is like I'm not like being jolted out of sleep to be like, yo, you gotta go to a job you hate for the next 8 hours. Blah 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 blah. Yeah. Like that's freeing. But I have, like when you say like you leave your phone in the other room, like that's one thing I don't know. I'd use the excuse of like, oh, I'm a parent, I can't do that shit, because what if there's an emergency or whatever? But like that's one thing I admire about so many people, when I see people be like, oh yeah, I just turn my phone off. And like the idea that gives me anxiety, not because I want to be on my phone all the time, but because like, yo, what if something happens?
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think that's why I dream about like moving to like somewhere far. Cause then it's like, I lose that anxiety of like, oh, what if something happens? And it's like, oh, if I'm in fucking, you know, New Zealand, like, if you're texting me about some shit, there's nothing I can do like in the moment. Like, what the fuck, you know, am I gonna do? Like,
yeah, yo, I'll see you in 23 hours.
Yeah, like
after I get on this flight.
Yeah, and like that was my thing. I said it to somebody. I was just like, yo, if I'm in like Australia living, it's like, yo, don't text me about the bullshit that you're going through, because that's yesterday's problems for me. Like, I'm in tomorrow already.
I'm already living in the future. Don't even like, bring it to me.
I'm in the future, dog. Like, this, like, because it's just like so much petty BS that, like, I get hit with shit and I'm just like, this is just useless BS. Why are you upset about it? Like, I can't wait to be like far enough away to be like, because dog, I'm not gonna lie, one of the things I loved in India, not like, oh, I couldn't talk to people right away, but the ability to be like, oh, my phone is off, like, and I'm just like, I will answer whatever messages when I'm in the hotel on Wi-Fi. Yeah. Other than that, my phone is a camera.
Yeah.
And like, it was so fucking freeing, because like all the anxiety and all the like stress of like, yo, somebody's gonna text me with some bullshit, especially at the time I was going through some stuff with people, like, I was able to be away from it. And there was a legit excuse to be like, I can't help you. Yeah, I was in Dharavi, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not running water in some spots there. There's definitely no Wi-Fi. Like, there's nothing I can do for you. Like, I was sending messages to people and be like, oh, it's, you know, it's fucking, you know, 2 in the afternoon there. Well, it's fucking 3 in the morning here or whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it was one of, like, the most freeing feelings. And it's like, I think part of me needs that to be like... Yeah. A far enough away that it's like, yo, people can't bother me with like just some petty bullshit.
Yeah, and it's, you know, our technology, follow me on this. I feel like our technology has kind of outpaced, you know, where we are in evolution. I think we catch up 100%. To it in a degree, but like for the most part, I think it's outpaced it. And I don't think that it's natural for us to be plugged in as much as we are. I was saying to the homie K, shout out to K, we were talking earlier. I was like, I feel too accessible. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, not that I want to hide away from people, but we were talking like in a professional capacity, like people hit me up all the time, like, yo, da 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 da, which, you know, I don't want nobody to stop hitting me up. That's how I eat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I feel very accessible and very connected and like tuned in all the time, you know, which is in a way taking away energy for me to be tuned in to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like always tuned into the internet, and I don't want that shit no more. You know what I mean? I want, dog. Do you remember when we were kids, like on a day like this where it's like bright and sunny and shit? You would get up, you might go link with your homie, you know, on your block or around the corner, or if you had a crew of kids, y'all would link, y'all would go play football, or y'all go play basketball, or go on a fucking adventure. I remember kids. Like would discover, yo, it's like woods behind this building.
Yeah.
And we would go into that shit.
Like, yeah.
We would just go off into that shit. You know what I mean? And just be gone. My mom, God bless her. My mom never gave me a curfew. You know what I mean? Because like, I guess like the type of kid I was, she knew I wasn't doing no real ill shit. You know what I'm saying? We did like little shit, but we wasn't like really like wilding. Dog, we would go out on a summer day. You know, there's no school or nothing. We would go out on a summer day. I would leave out the crib at noon. You know, we would eat something while we out. I might come back to the crib around like 7 or 8 and eat something again. Mm-hmm. And then go back out. We'd be out 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm a little kid. You know
playing
what I mean?
Manhunt or
100%.
Shit like that. Jailbreak, whatever. Like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that feeling of, and nobody could call me, you know what I'm saying? My mom could yell out, you know, into the ether and hope that, you know, I heard her, but nobody could access you. You were free. You were just out, you know, in the mix. Like, I miss that feeling.
Yeah, it's that ability to just be like, you were gone all day. Like, you could come in the house and be like, oh shit, Michael Jordan unretired? I didn't know because I wasn't on Twitter all day. Like,
yeah.
It's that kind of feeling of just being like, oh, I could, you know, even when you come home from school, you drop your shit and go right back the fuck outside. Mm-hmm. And then just be outside until 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, come in, eat something, and go to bed. And not have this feeling of like, yo, I constantly need to be connected. I constantly need to be connected. And like, I think about that shit sometimes because I'm a real like hit or miss person on Twitter. Like, I'll jump on Twitter, be on there for like 20, 30 minutes and then be gone for like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And like, but there's other people. It's like you go look at their feed and they post in every 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. And I'm just like, I get that a lot more for people who are like working in offices every day who just like,
right.
This is just their boredom. Like, they're just passing their time. But like, if you're, even just sitting in my crib working on, you know, whatever, writing something or outlining some other idea or editing some video, like, I'll get on, make post something, put my phone down, turn the TV on, have the TV on in the background, work. Uh-huh. Like, even sitting in my house where like I have my free time, I don't want to be on social media all day long, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely in the past few years migrated more to Twitter than Facebook. Like Facebook, like when I worked, you know, like a 9-to-5 job and I was bored and I'm just doing shit, I would be on Facebook reviewing records, just, you know what I'm saying? Whole long ass reviews or talking about fucking war or capitalism or some shit. Like you read my old shit, you could tell I was sitting somewhere and had a lot of time and focus, you know what I'm saying? And I would just go. Now for me, it's I don't spend hours at a time scrolling on anything. You know what I mean? I have the little joint that breaks down like my screen time and shit and the time I spend on certain apps. I'm not on any app for hours scrolling, but I am boom, 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 like small increments of time all day. Definitely on Twitter, to a lesser degree, Instagram, and to an even lesser degree, Facebook. Facebook and Instagram might be a little equal right now for me. But like most of my time is on Twitter, and it's really just small. I'm just all day, little like micro bits I'm on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I want to be like, I want to be off that shit. You know what I'm saying? I want to be less tuned in. It's a fucking park around the corner. I bought a basketball. I want to go hoop around the corner. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to play with niggas because niggas, I just learned how to walk again a couple years ago. I don't want a nigga crossing me over. The fucked up part about it, I've definitely had that thought, like, yo, if I went over there and hoop with some niggas, a nigga might cross me. And then they, you know, you can't explain, oh, dog, these joints just started working again. My legs, nah, they going to be like, nah, nigga, you got crossed over. So I don't want to embarrass myself, but I want to, like, go and, like, shoot around and shit. You know what I mean? And not be always on social media.
Yeah, I think, like, being out and doing stuff. Like, I think, like, the pandemic was, like, I'm sure, you look at, like, Facebook's probably numbers probably went through the roof because of the pandemic and shit like that, people being at home. But like I'm actively trying to be like, yo, I'm putting my phone down, let it sit there. You know what I mean? Part of it is we kind of have to maintain an online presence as like for what we do. But like I'm on like Twitter a lot more during like Sixers games or like, you know, NFL games, some shit like sporting type shit. I'll be on Twitter way more talking shit, fucking around. But like, I'm trying to be off. Like, one thing I really want to do is I want to like not look at that shit before I'm up and like moving around for the day. Because it's way too easy to like roll over and be like, what's going on social media? Open Twitter, open, you know, Instagram or Facebook. And it's like, yo, my eyes can't even see straight yet. And I'm already like, yo, let me see what's going on. I think, too, like, because of all the stuff that's going on in the fucking world overall, like, there is a sense, like, they call it doom scrolling or whatever, where you're just, like, scrolling through, like, looking for, like, the next bad thing that's happening. Yeah. And I'm trying to get out of that as well.
Because you feel, it's almost like, damn, like, what's the shit? What's gonna happen next?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's like, it really is it's fear, but it's also like anticipation.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially like when Trump, you know, Biden's terrible, like fuck Biden. You know what I'm saying? When Trump was in
Chance you might see the shit as soon as it happened because he fucking tweeted like about to send these bombs, y'all. And like you're like, oh shit, like you never knew what was going to happen because he treated Twitter like a fucking, like he was talking, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like he was giving us the whole, you know, he's like, what are we going to extend this wall? I'm like, no, we don't want the wall. He's like, fuck you. You know what I mean? That shit was like a soap opera, you know what I mean? With like cliffhangers and shit every day. But that whole doom scrolling and being like constantly tuned in, I'm trying to get away from that shit. I sat and meditated last night, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to get back into my old wave.
Getting some mindfulness, shit like that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's important, yo. It's important, like, even just to, like, unplug for a day or so. Like, just completely go offline for a day or so. Just to reset yourself. Because, like you said, we're not, like, our brains, it's, you know, scientifically proven. Like, our brains are not meant to be, like, in everybody else's head all the time.
Right.
Like, that's just not natural. Like, we shouldn't be I shouldn't know how, you know, some random person that I friended on Facebook, you know, 8 years ago that I've never really interacted with, I don't necessarily need to know what that person's thinking every fucking minute.
Right. Like, who are these people to even, you know, not even on some who are these people. I ain't gonna say it like that. Just, yeah, it's not natural. It's not healthy.
Yeah, it's just, it's not cool. It's not cool for your, it's all not cool for your own well-being. Like, you know what I mean? You shouldn't be in everybody else's shit all the time because, you know, we, like, they talk about this thing in, like, suicide where, like, it's like a group thing where, you know, you'll see somebody commit suicide, so you commit suicide. Like, you see somebody depressed and, like, you know, you may start to think about shit you're going through and be like, damn, start getting depressed off of somebody else's depression because you fucking were like, damn, I kind of feel similar to that, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, you lead down the cause, or you seeing shit on social media that, you know, like, they talk about, like, shit's not real, like, they rent private planes and blah, 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 like, all this other crazy shit, and you just sit there and, like, you bugging out. It's good to, like, remove yourself for a little while, take a break, you know what I mean? Whether it's a few hours, a day, or a fucking week.
Yeah, 100%.
I think we can start hopping into the topics for this week, though.
Word.
First up, they released the track listing for DMX's posthumous album, excuse me, Exodus.
Yeah.
And it's fucking loaded.
Got a lot of motherfuckers on this street. I'm looking at it right now. Like, god damn.
And I mean, like, you're talking about, you know, even because, like, this album, I'm pretty sure, is almost all complete before he passed. So, like, you know, this dude was a living legend. So, like, if he hits people up to be like, yo, I want, you know, get on the album, blah, 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 it was going to happen. You know what I mean?
100%.
But, you know, it's got the locks on there, the Rough Rider family. We got a joint that me and you talked about. We didn't really want to see these dudes on our song no more.
they heard our podcast was like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till y'all see what we got.
We throwing one up for DMX.
Yeah. Which I am, as much as I said, like, I don't ever want to hear these dudes on a track together, it's DMX, Jay-Z, and Nas, which is like, I don't think we never got that. Like, you know what I mean? We got DMX and we got DMX and Jay, and we got DMX and Nas, but we never got them all together. So I'm interested. I'm interested to see. I don't know. Did Swiss produce the whole album? Do you know?
Somebody said, I want to say a week ago, I heard somebody say that Swiss produced the whole thing. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, because I'm interested to see who, like, produced that song and, like, all that kind of stuff. Because that's one thing that's happened, too, is I don't necessarily think they've always gotten, like, the best beats, Jay-Z and Nas, to be on together, so.
Right.
He got Wayne on the joint. He got Moneybagg Yo, which is, like, you know, a different generation. Somebody who, like, you know, DMX had, like, been very vocal at one point about newer generation MCs, but I think that was more of a I'm older, angry guy, like, you know what I mean? My shit's not doing numbers like that anymore. This was a few years ago. I think
a different sound, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
can see that. I can understand that.
I've also seen him talk about people more recently, and younger rappers, and it wasn't the same vibe. It was a more of like, yo, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, this dude is doing his thing, this dude's doing his thing. So got Bono on there, because I know you're a big Bono fan.
Fucking Bono from YouTube.
Or Sonny Bono. Maybe it's Sonny Bono. I don't know. It just Bono. So
Sonny Bono died years ago.
Hey, man.
Yo.
You know. If y'all niggas, recorded.
If y'all niggas is looping Sonny Bono vocals on a fucking DMX song, y'all ought to all go to prison. Yeah, you know, Bono, man, I want to hear what it sounds like. Alicia Keys. It feels like the Alicia Keys and Bono song should be one song together. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. You got West Side Gun, Benny the Butcher, and Conway on the joint. Yeah. Nas is on another joint. You got Snoop, the two dogs on the track together. I'm wondering if that was like something they had talked about during the verses.
Yeah.
Like, yo, should we get on a joint together? Got Usher on here. Like, you know,
I always love when Usher show up.
Yeah, man. Usher gets it going. So yeah, I'm always hesitant with like posthumous albums because of like, you know, you never know. But this one, because I'm pretty sure it was almost all like locked and loaded before he passed.
Yeah.
We kind of are going to get a situation that's like, this is like what his vision was. It's not like, you know, whatever executive producer for this Tupac record had envisioned for like features. Like, you know what I mean?
Y'all was doing Pac dirty when Pac passed, dog. They was putting Pac on a record with anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody who was hot. It was, oh, Chameleon Air, whoever. They was throwing Pac on the record with anybody.
Didn't matter.
You know what I mean? I'm absolutely going to listen to this. I'm absolutely going to, like, we're going to talk about it on the podcast, you know what I mean? And, you know, there's something in me that's excited to hear this, and I'm, like, really, really hoping that it's good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I trust Swiss. I'm not, you know, I've never been a big Swiss fan. I trust Swiss with DMX.
You know what I'm saying?
Swiss is like, has a hand on this one. You know what I mean? I trust Swiss with that. You know what I mean? And I love the record that Swiss did with Nas 2 years ago or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That joint, that was my shit. You know what I mean? So,
aside from Swiss talking for like 2 minutes at the beginning of it,
I love that part. I feel like I'm the only person because I've heard so many people complain about that part. I love that part where he's like talking shit in the beginning. But like, if he gives X, you know, like that updated sound that's kind of like that, you know what I'm saying? I want to hear what he do with Benny and Conway. I knew that they was rocking with each other. You know what I mean? It's a video. I think Benny was like playing X some shit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I feel like this is gonna be good. My instinct is telling me it's gonna be good. You know what I'm saying?
I'm hoping so too. Because I just don't want like the last joint to go as a whimper too. Like, you know what I mean? Like that would be sad because there's gonna be so much push behind it. I don't want it to be like, oh, it was, you know, it was not that like that. So I'm hoping it really is good. And I think it's this week, right? I think it's out this week, right?
Is it? Oh, shit.
Is it this week or it's this week or next week? It's one
528
of the
528 next week.
Yeah, so next week. Yeah. So next week.
Yeah. Hit us with some shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So Death Row, that's now owned by Hasbro, the toy company.
Insane.
They launched a interactive museum for the 30th anniversary of Death Row Records with Television. It was like a crypto artist. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I don't know what a crypto artist is.
Right.
But like, you know, any of y'all out there that's really hip and into like NFTs and shit like that, apparently this Death Row Records thing has that. But I think it's just, it's Death Row, like 30th anniversary or whatever, you look it up. And it's like a whole museum of like, interactive museum where you can go in. There's a bunch of like little Easter eggs. There's 30 Easter eggs for one for each year of Death Row Records. And like you could go in, it tells like the backstory, how the label started. And it really dope for like you know, you can have like a physical place where you can have like a pop-up for Death Row Records 30th anniversary. But, you know, everybody who's a fan can't get to LA to go see that.
Right.
So to do this on the internet, to have a bunch of like, and what you can do online now is like, you know, it's amazing. And there's all types of videos that you can have running and all that type mm-hmm. of shit. And so like, I thought this was really dope. I scrolled around a little bit, on it when I saw this, and there's some really cool things in there, man. Like you forget how much Death Row like really ran shit.
They were dominant in that.
And what's crazy is it feels longer, but it was only like a little 5-year stretch. It was not that long, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they were top of their game, man. Put out one of the best soundtracks ever recorded for a movie. It's crazy, man. Like they did a lot of stuff, man. And there's a lot of people that went through there. We talked about Quick just a couple weeks ago in his situation, but like Quick was not necessarily on Death Row, but like he did so much work with them.
Affiliated, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we have our own connection here from Philly because of Corrupt, and then like you got the Doll Pound with Corrupt and Daz, and then you got Snoop, and you got Raze, and you got Doc, and you, like, you know what I mean? And of course, Dre, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, they got such a sort of, you know, such a huge history. Like, seeing it all collected in one place is really dope.
Yeah, yo, it's, I don't want to say surprising to me, because they had, you know, They had like the youth market in a stranglehold when mm-hmm. we were teenagers when this era was like at its height. And it's a little bit surprising to me, I guess I could say. I see young people now who are still intrigued by Pac and Snoop, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Suge Knight even, you know what I'm saying? And that whole mythology and story around Death Row and like the drama of it all, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still impactful, and it even laid a crazy foundation for, you know, Death Row very much was over by the end of the 90s, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody was fucking with them. But, you know, I would argue that sonically and I want to say like philosophically or aesthetically, you don't get like Eminem or 50 Cent or any of the shit, even beyond just the Dre connection, like the philosophy of how they approached rap music, you know what I mean, and what they put out there for audiences. That shit was inspired by Death Row, you know what I'm saying? So it's like a clear line of influence into, you know, the music that would follow after. That shit is like mad influential for a label who, like you said, really was only on top for 5 years, maybe.
Though, even I forget my man's name, the dude that was like 6ix9ine's manager and label head boy, mm-hmm. he was running around screaming, "We the new Death Row," and blah blah blah. Blah.
Yeah,
this 20 years later, like 25 years later, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Even almost 30 years later, and this dude still, like, that's how much of an impact and an imprint that, like, Death Row Records left. So, like, to see all this collected in one place is really dope.
Yeah, I'm gonna check this shit out for real.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cool to check out. And one of the last things I wanted to touch on before we begin wrapping up. So Black Rob's manager, he's the one who actually shot the video that went viral of Black Rob in the hospital, mm-hmm. Asking for help and, like, you know, for his GoFundMe stuff. He called out Puff. Because he was like, you know, Puff had said I'm going to pay for the funeral and blah, 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 blah. And which is dope. Like, that's nice and a nice gesture on Puff's part, but like he was like, "Yo, man, he's dead now." Like, you know what I mean? You had a chance to help that man when he was alive, like you know, you didn't answer no calls.
You know, it's fucked up. I thought you were gonna say, "Yeah, he offered to pay, and then he didn't."
No, yeah, I mean, it would be a Puff thing to do.
Yo, you were setting that up, and I'm listening, like, yeah. But on the inside, I'm like, "Damn, Puff, please tell me you paid for this man's funeral."
Yeah, they were like, his manager, you know, the manager was just like, yo, man, you know, like $10,000 could have did a huge thing for this dude and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, people turn their backs on him. And I just, like, part of me thought about, like, first of all, the idea that, like, capitalism ain't going to save us. And, like, you know, investing in capitalist people are not going to save us.
Yeah.
You know, because he's talking about, oh, yeah, you know, he had medical bills and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, and it's fucked up that Puff didn't do more for him. But in my head, I'm going, like, we should have fucking universal health care and we should have better safety nets that help these people when that shit happens anyway. So, like, we shouldn't have to be like, yo, why? Because, like, in the end, you know, he can, you know, these dudes can scream family and bad boys are family and all this other shit. Like, I got, like, shaking trust in like you and like two or three other people like, and that's real.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I got unwavering trust in like maybe like four or five people in my life that I know, like, oh, this dude's not going to leave me high and dry if some shit happens.
And it ain't no motherfucker you met because of no record deal shit or none of that shit.
Nah, like, you know, I got people that I've known for a long time, or like we have shit invested in each other. Not some shit where it's like, yo, we signed you to this record deal because I think I can make money off you and you're my family. Like, I always feel bad for people when I see them in those situations where they're like, yeah, yo, I thought this shit was supposed to be family and you, you fucked us over, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dog, you know, and this isn't a shot at anybody, but I just look at it and go, like, you look at what Puff did, like, through his whole timeline. You know what I mean?
Nobody's like, you can't tell me that all of these people are wrong or are lying on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, there's nothing, you can't convince me of that.
Nah, and it's a shame because a lot of dudes, like, especially coming to music, it just don't have paperwork right. Like, don't own their publishing, don't own this, don't own that. Because, like, a lot of times you talk about people coming from a situation of, like, nothing to something. So they're willing to do whatever they can to get from nothing. You know what I mean? So if that means, like, yo, sign away, you know, sign this paperwork and you don't really understand it and you don't got entertainment lawyers and you don't have all this shit, like, that's what happens. They're like, oh, you trust my lawyer. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, no. Never trust the people you sign it with's lawyer. You know what I mean? Like,
they're not on your side.
No. Nah. So, you know, if it's anything, if anything can come from this, it's that, like, up-and-coming artists or, like, artists in general, man, just be wary of, like, who you're dealing with and, like, how much they have invested in you and how much they care. Because a lot of these motherfuckers don't care, dog. You're a commodity.
Yeah.
You know 100%.
And it's, you know, to go back to what you said earlier, it's not the requirement, or no, I say it this way. We shouldn't have to rely on the charity of rich people to pay medical bills.
Yeah,
the society that we live in should tax rich people so that we have more funds. We already got the fucking funds, you know, for universal health care. But so that we have more funds to take care of more people in a better way and completely make sure that they're all right. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't even, like, I've seen some people say, you know, oh, well, you can't count Puff pockets or he don't have no, you know, obligation to him. We have obligation to each other as human beings. You know what I mean? Yes. God put us on this earth and we, you know, we're in this shit together. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. I've never had, you know, $1 billion. You know what I'm saying? So you take my word with a fucking grain of salt. I don't understand how a motherfucker who I was like, yo, you my bro, we down. And I got a billy and 10 bands would change your life.
Yeah.
And I can't extend that to you. That's, I'm not even judging Puff with that. I don't understand that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a different human, and I've never been in his circumstance, but I don't understand that shit. You're like, yo, you know, if me and you, you know, after this conversation, never fucked with each other again for whatever reason, and then 10 years down the line, yo, you know, Josh, he real fucked up. Yo, he need like 10 bands. 10 bands out of a Billy?
That's nothing, man.
That's crazy, but, you know, it's fucked up. Like, you know, rest in peace, Black Rob. I know some folks around him initially were trying to pull the heat off of Puff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Initially, I don't know if it was the manager specifically or his brother, but I know if he has a brother, if he don't, I'm mistaken, excuse me. But, like, I know some folks around him were trying to be like, well, hold on, you know, Puff, you know, he did what he could do. It's crazy to see now his manager is like, nah, you could have did more.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, like I think it's a societal thing of just being like, yo, we need to take care of each other, and we need to look at each other as like, yo, we're a human family, and like we need to look after each other.
Yeah.
And it's fucked up, man, because like I think about that shit, like I'm just like, yo, if I had the money, I wouldn't have money, because I'd be trying to help fucking yeah. almost everybody I know, like, yo, let's try and get this going, let's help you out, let's get this, because like I don't, like I couldn't be Jeff Bezos, and maybe that's why I ain't got $200 billion, because I couldn't see what's going on in the world and be like, yeah, that's fucked up, but like I need a yacht that needs a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean, my man just bought a yacht that's so big it needs a yacht to get yeah. to the yacht. Like, that's not something that like even crosses my mind, because I'm like, yo, man, people out here fucked up. Like, you know yeah. what I mean? And you know, maybe that's why I ain't got $165 billion. Like, but you know, I just don't know how I wouldn't. I know me personally, I don't think I could operate that way.
Yeah. You somebody said I mean? It on Twitter earlier. They said Jeff Bezos wakes up every day with the money to, I don't know, like end homelessness or whatever.
Yeah.
And chooses not to.
Yeah. Like, he legit God chooses damn. Like, yeah, no, nah, I don't want to end homelessness today.
Today ain't going to be the day.
Nah, I could,
ask me tomorrow.
Yeah, I could single-handedly end world hunger, but like, why?
Yeah.
God where's damn. Where's the profit margin in that? And like, yeah. I think we need to seriously question our society when yeah. that's how people operate. And like, he's not the only one. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, it's not like Puff's the only one, and mm-hmm. Bezos ain't the only one. There's a lot of motherfuckers out here doing that shit, man.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we as a society, I think, owe more to each other.
Yeah, 100%.
I think we can start wrapping up, getting to like what we've been listening to this week. Did you listen to anything new?
Yeah, yeah. I listened to that new Nicki joint with Drake and Lil Wayne.
Yeah, Seeing Green.
Yeah, Seeing Green. It's crazy because Nicki later, she said that Drake and Wayne washed her on the track. And then I heard people like disagreeing or whatever. I love Nicki, and I think that just on technical skill alone, but then also in, maybe in like presence and personality, I think she's a better MC than Drake and Wayne. You know okay. what I mean? But I do think they both got her on this record. Like Wayne... Really?
I don't like Wayne's verse on here, yeah.
Really? I thought he was better on this than he is on most things for me.
Okay. I can see that, yeah.
Most of the fucking time, he's like, especially when he was like real, like in his bag, like that shit.
Yeah, me too.
Nah, that shit ain't really for me. But this shit, I was like, oh, all right, you know, you're doing better than usual to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I dug it. I think Drake probably has the best verse on the joint. And I kind of like Nicki John on here. And like I just, I don't know. I think it's something with Wayne's voice that kind of like,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I don't know. But like, I don't think he's bad on there. I just don't think he's like overly impressive.
Yeah.
And like this whole, like the record that came out is like an old mixtape. She added a couple songs.
Yeah, it's
to.
The old joint, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently...
Beat Me Up Scotty shit.
Yeah, apparently this was originally a Drake song for Loverboy. Certified Loverboy. And he sent it to her, like, yo, you'd be really good on this. And then, like, just when she rapped on it, just gave it to her. Like, yo, here, just take it. Because, I don't think that album's ready. So I don't think, I think he's kind of just like casting off shit that he doesn't want on there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, apparently that's the story I was told. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's a dope song. I like the beat and shit. Like, I do think it's a dope track.
Did you hear about the controversy around the beat?
No, what happened?
So that sample, I can't think of the name of the record that they sampled it from, but I want to say 2 years ago, excuse me if I'm wrong, there was a viral video. It was a young cat sitting in his car chopping that sample up.
Oh, I saw this on Twitter the other day. That somebody, yeah. I saw that video of dude doing it, but I wasn't listening. Like, I didn't have the audio on at the time. I just saw a dude like in his car doing that shit.
Doing the finger drumming and shit, triggering the sample. They chopped this shit the same way. It's very, like, they flipped the same. I don't want to say it's exactly the same. They flipped the same sample. And niggas is like, oh, because first, when that song came out, niggas was like, Nicki got the ball from the viral video. Got the ball to jump on this beat. And then Kat started looking in the credits like, nah, they ain't credit ball. They got somebody else to flip that same sample. I'll say this. One, you can buy a sampler now and you can set auto chop and it'll automatically chop a sample for you. It's a lot easier now to do a same chop. Like, back when I'm getting on like sample nerd shit, but like back when the Beat Nuts did Watch Out Now, the doo 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 doo, J-Lo and them heard that and then flipped that sample the same way.
Yeah.
And it was a bite. Nowadays, I'm not saying he didn't bite this brother that put out that beat video. Nowadays, it's easier. You got like the auto chop and shit. And then some samples tell you to chop them a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's easier. But I will say it's easier now to chop and flip a sample the same way. Easier than it was, you know, in the fucking 90s or some shit. Whereas if you flip some shit the exact same way and you really chopped it, you had to have been like listening to somebody or it was a hell of a coincidence. So I don't know what they did, but I know a lot of cats were first thinking they got the bull, you know what I mean? But it wasn't the bull. They got somebody else. You know what I mean?
I will say this too. There's a possibility that Drake, Wayne, and Nicki may have never even heard that originally or saw the video or anything.
Yeah.
Whoever produced this joint might have saw that and was like, yo, but flip that, and then gave it. Like, that happens, you know what I mean? Like, listen, man, I didn't see this video originally when it first was around, and I ain't got shit to do all day. These dudes is making million-dollar fucking deals and shit. So there's a possibility they never originally saw the video, and then the person who produced it brought it to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I didn't know that. I didn't know about that at all.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this shit happened right around the time where, like the same day, this cat got exposed for like going on TikTok stealing people beats.
Wow.
Like he's doing like the little, like he making it and shit. But cats are like, yo, that's my beat from, you know, 2018 or whatever. So yes, you know. Clearly, it's not safe for producers out here. You know what I mean? You gotta like register your shit or whatever. It's crazy.
It's a dangerous game, dog. It's a dangerous game.
I never understood. I don't understand that shit now. I don't understand. I never heard a beat, and like I never heard like Buck Wild beat or Diamond D, and wanted to be like lie like I made the shit. I don't understand that.
I always think about it in the sense of being like, I always think like you'll be caught eventually.
Especially now where like, when we were kids, it was always a cat who would come in like a cipher and spit somebody else's rhyme.
It was always
somebody who would do that, you know what I mean? And they get called out, oh, that's so-and-so, that's, man, fuck out of here, that's so-and-so. Now with like how accessible knowledge is and everybody hears fucking everything, I don't know how you think you can get away with that kind of shit.
Now, I remember one time, I don't know if he was with us, and we were ciphering, and Bull had, like, he had the pyramid hat on, he had the fatigues, and he said, something, still spending money from 88.
You?
And I was like,
nah.
That's a Jay-Z line, bro. And yeah, he was just like, no. He had shit to say after. He was, oh no, man,
bro, you had on the pyramid hat.
Like, yeah, like
that's just supposed to bring out. It's supposed to activate the bars. Why are you still with Hove?
Yeah.
That shit. I remember. We getting off topic, but I remember we was rhyming. We was out on like 68th Ave, and we was rhyming. And my man, I'm not going to say his name, my man came up and he spit Dice Raw shit, which is crazy because Dice Raw used to be on that block. But he came up, was like, you leave niggas missing in action like a dad's in the projects. My style's like a nomad, travel around and catch wreck. My man was like, yo, get the fuck out of here. That's fucking Dice Raw. And my man was like, oh, you know, like, if niggas was getting caught doing shit in that era, you definitely getting caught stealing in this era.
Yeah, you everything's fucking recorded, man.
I don't understand that shit. I hope these niggas just chopped the same sample the same way. I hope they didn't steal from this brother's music.
Yeah, that's whack. That's totally whack. Also, I saw on Twitter this was mentioned, maybe this man has now surpassed Nas as like the greatest rapper of all time. J. Cole dropped a record the off season.
Dog, I'm starting to realize why old niggas be mad at like older. I'm talking like people in like their 70s or 60s now be mad at people like us when we say like, yo, MJ is the greatest. Cause these young niggas, every time an album come out that they like a little bit, he better than Nas. Nigga, leave Nas out of this shit. Like, every time on Twitter somebody drops something new, oh man, he might be better than Nas. Like, why y'all keep coming in Nas? But you know, it reminds me, I see why old niggas be like, no, fuck y'all, Bill Russell, nigga. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
why
crazy.
Don't Kareem ever get brought up in the top five? Yeah.
Man, J. Cole put out his new record, the off season, and of course Twitter argued about it for the entire
weekend.
It was
classic at 12:01, dog. At 12:01, it was a classic.
Yo, and I'll say this, because Dart Adams made a really good point. He said that Miss Info wrote a review of Illmatic months before it came out and declared it a classic. When it came out, nobody argued with her assessment. And then later, you know, years, decades later, nobody will argue with it since.
Yeah.
So I understand that, one, there was a different cultural infrastructure than you could kind of rely on the source. Then I'm not relying on none of these hip hop Twitter niggas to tell me that something's a classic, you know, a minute after it dropped or whatever, or an hour after it dropped or whatever. But yeah, it was a lot of that. It was a lot of, I noticed it was a lot of dudes, I guess people who fancy themselves like underground hip hop heads, sitting in the corner like, I'm not listening to any J. Cole album. Fuck you. This ain't even the real shit. You know what I mean? It's either, you know, it's classic or trash. You get that argument. You know, I'm above listening to this. You get that kind of argument. You know, who cares about J. Cole? You get that argument. It's interesting whenever like a big ticket rap album comes out, we kind of have the same conversations every single time it happens.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Because like when Kendrick dropped Damn, it was like certified classic immediately.
Yeah.
444 was certified classic immediately. Like all these albums get like certified classic immediately.
As soon as they come out, dog. Niggas,
yeah.
I'll say this. I thought 444 was pleasant. You know what I'm saying? Which isn't necessarily, you know, a descriptor that you want for a rap album. I think niggas jumped out the window with 444. I thought it was good. And I think Hov is the shit as an MC. I think motherfuckers was really like, you know, it wasn't comparable to what Lemonade was. You know what I mean?
It wasn't Blueprint.
No, it wasn't Blueprint. What could be?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I liked 444. I liked it a lot. I haven't gone back to it like, yo, I have to go listen to this. Like, there's stuff that I have on my playlist that, like, may pop up from here, from, you know, here and there. But, like, nothing that's like, yo, I have to go back and listen to this album because it's so good. I could put the Blueprint on and play that shit from beginning to end with no issues. All the way
through, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I do think that is a thing where it's just like, yo, shit drops and immediately, oh, yo, this shit is classic. It's like, yeah, I mean, again, like, what Dart said is completely true. I think there is certain shit you listen to and you're like, yo, this is classic. But, like, also, that was her job to review records as opposed to dude who works at, like, U-Haul, who's just, like, working the midnight shift and fucking texting, like, yo, this shit is fucking classic.
But like, J. Cole, yo.
Yeah, and that's not to say that dude at U-Haul don't know hip-hop, but, like, he's not doing this shit every day. That's not his gig. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do think it is an interesting record. I'm not the biggest J. Cole fan. Anybody who's listened to this podcast knows I'm not the biggest J. Cole fan.
Yeah.
And you're not, like, the biggest J. Cole fan either. I do think he is a very talented MC. He just doesn't make music that's all that inspiring to me.
Yeah. I've heard glimpses of shit where, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, this is the shit. But, I think that he's definitely, I'll say this, he's definitely, you know, been in the lab working the pen.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a lot better technically and then this, like, intangible presence he has on the mic. He's like, definitely, you know, I would argue miles from where he was before. Mm-hmm. And this, I would say this, my first thought listening to this record was that this was as close to a really engaging album as any I've heard him make. You know, he's made good music before. This was the closest to being like, okay, this shit is, like, really hard. You know, I didn't love all of it, but a lot of it's good.
Like, I honestly think having the features helps him. Because I think it makes him push the pen harder.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I'm like, my favorite tracks on it, I do really love Applying Pressure, and that's just him by himself.
Mm-hmm.
But My Life, the joint with 21 Savage, I think that shit pushes.
Yeah.
I think the joint with Lil Baby push. I think these things push him to go a little harder because he does a lot of his own production, and I think part of that, like, it kind of feels monotone all the way across because, like, he makes production that fits him, you know, his voice, his flow, and that's great. But it doesn't push you to do extra shit. Yeah, I think if you
try to do something different,
yeah. I think when he does stuff with other people, it pushes him a little more.
Yeah, dog. I laughed when you mentioned the My Life joint. Speaking of, like, cats on Twitter, shout out to all of the niggas in our age group who, you know, immediately when they found out that J. Cole referenced Pharrell Monch. And Styles P in My Life immediately came on Twitter to tell all the younger niggas, y'all know that's Pharrell Monch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know they got that shit from Pharrell Monch. But, like, this album and with the point that you made about the features, I'll say this. My favorite thing that J. Cole's done was the Dreamville album.
Yeah.
Cause I thought that it very much sounded like a cohesive vision that he put together. You could tell that he was, like, you know, the organizing force or one of the organizing forces behind that record. And he got young, super talented, fucking on fire niggas to rhyme on that shit. And whenever he showed up, he was like,
Yeah.
He showed up. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I understand the, you know, oh, I went platinum with no features and all that shit. And I understand the flex of that. But yeah, sometimes music is collaborative. You know what I mean? And sometimes you need another motherfucker. When I listen to somebody's album, you know what I mean? I want to hear the different colors of other people's voices and shit. You know what I'm saying? Give me that. Like, it's few records, you know. It's few records that can, like, get away with that, where it's just one MC through the whole fucking thing. You know what I mean? Invite somebody else in the studio. Give me a little different energy and shit.
Though, you can't tell me Jay having Biggie on Brooklyn's Finest ain't pushed Jay to go hard.
That's my shit, too.
AZ, Nas having AZ on Life's a Bitch didn't push Nas to go harder. Like, that is a... It's a legit thing. I mean, even back when we were kids and, like, you'd read a rhyme at second period lunch, that made me want to go write a better rhyme on, to go read at third or fourth period. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, those things are, like, I think that pushes you sometimes. And, you know, when you on a joint with everybody he got on Dreamville, like, them dudes can write. Mm-hmm. So you better come hard.
They coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it does push him sometimes, which I think, and like you said, I get the flex of, like, hey, I went platinum, no features, cool. But, like, you know, some of the best albums of all times got features. So, like, you're not, like, it's not saying, like, you're doing something that's, you know, that's great, but, like, you can get pushed, and people push other MCs, man. Yeah. Like, you telling me Sauce Money it wasn't pushing Jay on the Bring It On and shit? Like, yeah. Dudes is pushing each other.
Yeah, imagine 1-900 Hustler. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, come on. Yeah, you get pushed, man. Like, you got other MCs pushing you to go harder because you're like, yo, I know he gonna bring it, so I can't slack and leave a subpar rhyme on here.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I do think, yo, check it out. Like, even if you're not a big J. Cole fan, check it out. There's really good songs on here. Like, yeah. My favorite track on here is Applying Pressure, and that is a solo J. Cole track. But, like. Yeah. I think there is some really good stuff on here, and I think folks should check it out. I mean, you got Cam'ron just talking shit on the track. Like, you know what I mean? Love that shit. Can't get mad at that.
You know, give Cam a verse next time, but
yeah,
Cam talking shit, I'm with that.
Yeah, exactly. And then my man dropped the album and then went to Rwanda and dropped, like, 3 points and 3 rebounds and shit like that in a game. So,
listen, he rapping and hooping.
Yeah,
I ain't mad.
He living the dream, dog. Yeah. Like, so many dudes live that, you know, what is that dream? He living the dream.
Yeah, 100%.
I ain't mad at him. Other than that, though, we can start wrapping up. Hey, you know what? We should have probably mentioned this beforehand. Our film, Another Word for Paradise, got selected for the First Time Filmmakers Festival.
Yep. Yeah.
So we are in a film festival, first of many, hopefully. But we're really grateful for that. And the film is up on our Vevo channel, that's Serious Rap Shit Vevo. You can find it in the link in our bios. Our social media is Serious Rap Shit on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Indy_SRS on Instagram and Twitter. You're John_Liberator on Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. Check out our Vevo channel regardless. We have stuff that goes up there every week. Every 5 days, actually. So every few days, there's some stuff that's dropping on there. We have a ton of stuff. We just did 2 new videos last week that are edited and ready to be uploaded. So they're going to be dropping soon. Find us. We have our website, seriousrapshit.com. We have all our merch there. Go buy a t-shirt. All that stuff to help support the podcast. We have the Abash Ice t-shirts with Incest Trap and Yoga. On their site. Other than that, I can't think of nothing else.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good. We're wrapped. Other than that, yo, y'all be good. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace.
Me and my friend take his rap shot too.